Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, welcome on into the second half of Sports Tack. We're getting underway, gearing up for the college football playoff matchup, 6:30 this evening. Unfortunately, we won't have that for you, but we will be definitely giving updates throughout the program about Ole Miss and the Miami Hurricanes taking on each other. We're going to start breaking down things in our pick six segment, which is actually pick eight this week. Charlie, Mike, carrying over from last hour. Appreciate you sticking around, Mike. And Charlie, how the heck are we doing after the last week of NFL regular season?
Well, Mike kind of alluded to it at the end of last hour, but this past week was miserable for yours truly. I went 1-7, guys. There's no kind of hiding from that. I got unlucky a couple different times, like the Falcons backdoor cover. The whole Ravens situation was also very much ridiculous, where Lamar throws the big touchdown pass and they're covering at that point. I'm dancing. And then the Ravens defense just gives up a touchdown at the last second. And then they lose that game. They miss out on the playoffs and they fire their coach in all a span of basically 48 hours. So recapping everything, Bobby actually won this past week going 5-3. Mike went 4-4. Steve went 4-4. As I mentioned, I was miserable at 1-7, so hopefully I can rebound here and get back in the winning column. We have eight games to break down, guys. Six in the NFL wildcard round. We'll get to that in just a second, but we'll start with the two college football playoff semifinal games starting tonight. This game is going to start in about 20 minutes, so this is going to be old by the time it gets uploaded. That's okay. The Fiesta Bowl, number 10 Miami, 3.5-point favorites versus number 6 Ole Miss out in Glendale, Arizona. Bobby's got Miami covering the 3.5. Mike, I was talking with you off air about this. The number has come down because Trinidad Chambliss, that effect of what he did to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl last week. A lot of bettors are putting a lot of late money on Ole Miss in this game, but it's still 3.5 for our number. It makes me want to take Ole Miss here and avoid that hook. But I just think Miami has been so dominant on both sides of the line of scrimmage in this run in the postseason. I think they get it done. I think they win by 4 points or more. It should be a fun game, maybe like a 27-23 finish. It just feels like Miami's defense, I trust more in this spot than Ole Miss's defense. Defense wins championships. Give me the Hurricanes just like Hebert.
I'm going to take that 3.5. If it was 3, I would go with Miami. I think Miami wins this game, but it could well come out to be a field goal.
It's going to be that hook,
but
Mike.
I get that extra half. Man, give me the Rebels.
Mike, I'm actually right with you, man. In a semifinal game, for me, getting more than a field goal with a team that just knocked off the SEC champs, too much value there for me to pass up, so I'm rolling with the Rebs.
They got to change that, like, just entire situation, guys. I know that Indiana wasn't affected by it, but the numbers are there about teams in the first round getting a bye in the college football playoff. I think they'll adjust once it moves to 16. No team will get a first-round bye, and hopefully there will be more on-campus games. So a split to start us off here. Bobby and I are going with the Hurricanes. Mike and Steve going with Ole Miss. Up next tomorrow night, guys, we got the Peach Bowl out in Atlanta. Number 5, Oregon versus number 1, Indiana. Bobby's got Indiana. I once again agree with him on this one. I'm just done doubting the Hoosiers. I'm done doubting Coach Sig. I know that people will talk about the talent level of that roster, but they just keep beating opponents up physically. And there's some grown men on that team. Give me the Hoosiers minus 3.5. I think that they not necessarily cruise to the college football playoff championship game, but I think that they win this by a touchdown or more.
I like Indiana. Best coach team. And Mendoza's the real McCoy. Nothing against Dante Moore. That's why I disagree with Ryan Roberts on. They got beat up in that first game.
Yes, they did.
If you watch that game, yeah, the way they score was, but they got beat up in that football game. Give me Indiana, and I think they make it 2 in a row against Oregon.
I'm going to roll with the Quack Attack. Give me the Ducks here, guys. I think just beating a Dan Lanning team is going to be, you know, twice in a season is going to be real tough for this Indiana squad, no matter how good we think they are. And Oregon's been dominant since losing to Indiana early on. That revenge factor, I feel, is going to be huge. So, quack, quack. Give me the Ducks plus 3.5.
They've been good to you, Steve, so I understand the pick. Moving on, NFL wildcard round, guys. We have everything starting off with a doubleheader on Saturday. First and foremost, in the NFC, the Rams, the 5-seed, 10.5-point favorites on the road in Carolina against the 4-seeded Panthers. Bobby's got the Rams minus 10.5. This was a Panthers team that upset the Rams. And Steve, I remember the number that I read out to you last night about teams with bad point differentials in the playoffs,
right,
and being able to win those games in the first round. You know, this game scares me more than it should.
Absolutely. That number's high.
It is very high. That being said, the Rams are maybe the team that I trust the most in the NFC. Give me L.A. to cover the 10.5.
Rams.
Wow, I'm going to be different again here, guys. I'm going to roll with the Panthers getting that 10.5. I think L.A. wins this matchup, but think the Carolina Kitty Cats keep it close enough.
So you are the only one taking the Panthers in this matchup, Steve. Moving on, the 7-seed in the NFC, the Packers, 1.5-point favorites at the 2-seeded Bears. Bobby's got the Bears winning this matchup. There's something mentally about this game, the Packers and the Bears. And I know a lot of Bears fans are really holding their breath. Maybe they're a little bit ahead of schedule with Coach Ben Johnson. Are they the real deal? The Packers have been terrible for the past month. I know injuries have played a major factor in that. I don't like this one, guys. I don't like this one either way. I'll take the Bears, but I don't feel very good about it. I'll ride with Bobby on this one.
I like the Bears. They get turnovers. And can the Packers stop their running game? So that's why I'm going with Chicago.
Yeah, we're in trouble because it's going to be a sweep on this one, gents. And Jordan Love's got the playoff experience. Like you mentioned, Mike, the Bears defense has been creating those turnovers. I just love a home dog here, so give me Bears plus 1.5.
The first clean sweep of the last 2 weeks, gentlemen. That's very fun. Up next, we have a Sunday tripleheader, guys, starting with the AFC, the 6-seeded Bills, 1.5-point favorites in Jacksonville against the 3-seeded Jaguars. Bobby's got the Jags. This is the toughest one. I don't know how you feel. I think this is still the toughest one to pick. I'll lean Jaguars, but I don't feel great about it. I think if the Bills win this game, I don't think they'll have many more difficult opponents than the Jaguars to get over the hump into the Super Bowl. But the way that Jacksonville's been playing, they're red hot entering this matchup. I know that the money is going to be on the Bills because of Josh Allen and his effect, but give me the Jags. I just think that they're playing better football as a team.
Jaguars defense is real McCoy. They really good, and I'm going to trust Trevor Lawrence here. Fingers and every other part I got crossed on that, but Jacksonville.
Yeah, man, for me, it's just, you know, Buffalo's defense all year just looks so shaky.
Another clean sweep, Steve?
Yeah, Jacksonville's run game and the home momentum, I like them here too, plus the 1.5, and I think they win outright.
Moving on, guys, we have an NFC matchup wrapping up that slate. The 49ers, the 6-seed out of the NFC at the number 3-seeded Eagles. Philadelphia, 4.5-point favorites at home. Bobby's got the Eagles, and I am noticing a trend here, guys, because I'm going right there with him. Philadelphia, it feels like the 49ers, I was texting with one of our listeners earlier, that they have to outscore teams to win, and I don't like that formula against Vic Fangio and the Eagles defense. I know that there's question marks about the Eagles offense. You know, maybe they can answer a few of them. You got to beat the champ to be the champ type of thing. I'm going with Philadelphia.
Who the hell have the Eagles played good against on offense? Man, give me them points in the 49ers. I don't know if San Francisco wins, but I will say this.
4.5.
Man, the Eagles ain't blowing out nobody.
I'm going to roll with Philly in this one, guys, minus 4.5. I just think, you know, banged up 49ers squad, Philly, like you mentioned, Charlie, the defending champs, and they're going to be the top dog until they're not. So I'm hesitantly rolling with Philly, though. I think it's going to be a tight game.
And speaking of more line movement, that line has actually gone up for Philly. It's now up to 5.5, but because we had set this up earlier, 4.5, so we get an extra point here that we're working with, Steve. Moving on, we got the Chargers, the 7-seed out of the AFC at the 2-seeded Patriots. Patriots, 3.5-point favorites in Foxborough. Bobby and I once again agree on this one. Patriots minus 3.5. The Chargers, great story to get to this point. But at the same time, I think that the Patriots just want to shut some people up about, you haven't played anybody. Yeah. You haven't, you know. I think that they'll have a good performance. They win this by more than 4. It's going to be upwards of a touchdown type of game.
I like the Patriots here. They could run the football. And the Chargers surprisingly haven't been able to stop the run. Their offensive line, they're not the 5 blocks of granite. Not without Alton Slater up. So I'll go with the Patriots.
I'm rolling with New England too, guys. That defense, I think, should be able to take care of some Chargers protection issues. And Drake May's deep ball will be a difference maker against a suspect secondary for the Chargers. Patriots -3.5, so I think that's a clean sweep, Charlie.
That is another clean sweep. That is our third of the NFL wild card round, which is not a good sign, but we'll move on.
Right.
Monday, January 12th, everything wraps up. Wild card weekend, Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. The four-seeded Steelers hosting the five-seeded Texans. Houston, three-point favorites on the road, guys. Mike, you heard me talk about it with Jen. You heard me talk about it earlier on in the show. I like this Texans team as a potential, I don't even want to call them sleeper, because a lot of people are looking at this team as maybe that defense can carry them very, very deep in this playoffs. Give me Houston to go on the road, Monday Night Football. I know all the numbers about Tomlin's success in Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. I don't care. Give me this Texans team to win and cover the three-point spread.
I like Houston. I just think their defense is as good as anyone's in the NFL. Not that the Steelers can really put a heavy pass rush. They haven't done that all season long. And either with because of age or injuries, T.J. Watt, he hasn't been the same guy. So give me Houston.
Yeah, I love that Houston Texans defense as well, guys. But you know what? I'll be a little different here. Give me the home dog with the Hall of Fame quarterback, Steelers +3.
And I didn't mention, but Bobby also has the Texans, so Steve, you will stand alone with the
Steelers
here. Wait a minute.
Bobby didn't pick Aaron Rodgers?
Bobby did not pick Aaron Rodgers.
Man, look how I'm sitting, because that would have floored me.
Well, listen, guys, that Texans defense, just like you said about the Jags defense, Mike, it's legitimate. So we'll see how far it can kind of carry them in this playoff picture, because like we said, the AFC is wide open. So just recapping real quick for everybody out there. Let's see, the first game tonight, Bobby and I are rolling with Miami -3.5. Mike and Steve are taking Ole Miss in the points. The three of us, Bobby, Mike, myself, are taking Indiana -3.5. Steve, you got Oregon +3.5. Similar situation. Steve, you're the only one taking Carolina +10.5 in the first game of the wild card weekend. Clean sweep for the Bears. Clean sweep for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike, you're the only one riding with the 49ers this weekend in Philadelphia. And then we have a clean sweep for the Patriots. And Steve is the only one riding with the Steelers this upcoming weekend as far as Monday Night Football to wrap up Wild Card Weekend, guys.
Well, at least it looks like I have a kind of a chance to catch up to you gents. Either that or I just go way down in the hole.
Yeah, you have a
few. Might be that 1-7 again.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's it?
Well, that is a wrap on our Pick 8 segment for this week. We'll see how things shake out and enjoying the weekend of college and NFL football. That starts tonight. Mike, thanks for sticking around and finishing off your extra duties for today.
All right, I'm going to punch out. All right, guys, y'all take
Mike.
Care.
Mike
right.
D clocking out. Me and Charlie staying on the clock. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL, folks.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk, folks. We are talking a little NBA action right now. For that, we welcome in one of our favorites, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Nick, man, how you been doing, man?
Guys, I am doing fine. I feel like I've been doing better than that poor fan base down in New Orleans.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but everything is good, and I know we got a lot to get into today for sure.
Man, things were looking up for a little bit, Nick. We got to enjoy a five-game win streak, but now the Pellies have lost their last nine, and just really frustrating to watch the team play. And I know you mentioned it long ago when we first acquired them. Man, oh, man, I just want to take the ball out of Jordan Poole's hands. He is frustrating the heck out of me.
You are not alone. I feel like we all can take a collective deep breath, because it is very similar to what I heard at times during Poole's tenure with the Warriors. He has a lot of talent, and he has really worked to get himself to this NBA level, but man, he takes some shots and just kind of gives the ball a headache, as my old high school coach would say. He just bouncing all over the place, and that's part of the experience. And it just has not worked, I think, pretty clearly at this point. But guys, there are so many issues when you look at the roster construction and what's gone on and what could happen. I think that sadly for the Pelicans, like, Poole is one issue of about, you know, 12 or 13 different ones that right. they've got going on. But specific to Poole, this is who he is as a player. I mean, that part's not going to change, especially this far into his career.
8-31 for the second straight season, Nick. And, you know, it's listen, I wanted to actually bring up a specific moment that I think sums up the start of the season pretty well. And it was just a couple nights ago. Steve and I have already kind of ranted a little bit about this. But when they were hosting the Lakers, LeBron and Luka are both in town. And Trey Murphy has this incredible third quarter where the Pelicans, you know, despite a middling first half, they build up almost a double-digit lead in the third quarter. And then towards the back end of that frame, Nick, there was a stretch where LeBron started to heat up. And you could just tell from that point that the Pelicans were going to crumble. And it's exactly what they did. The fourth quarter was full of, you know, missed three-point shots. They just kept jacking them up, and none of them were going down. Turnovers, bad offensive possessions. And it goes back to something that when this losing skid that they're on had just recently started, reporters had talked to the players about it, and losing games in crunch time, losing in clutch moments where this team just doesn't really know how to win. I really can't even put it simpler than that. When you get in down to brass tacks, so to speak, and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, they shrivel up offensively. They just don't know what to do. And I think that is a massive reason why you're seeing, you know, once again, the second straight year of this team being 8-31.
I think that is very well put. And I think the problem, Charlie, is when you don't know how to win and you don't have the players that have been through it and the players that are out there aren't put in there together and can't find their rhythm as a group, well, you got major, major problems. And I think that's what we've seen in New Orleans over and over again. The when there is a way to lose a game, they will find it. And when you are watching a team that doesn't have confidence in itself, you are watching a team that is at the bottom of the NBA barrel. There's just not a lot of hope to even take out of it, because you have these singular performances. Sometimes you go, oh, okay, like I start to see it. But when the games get tight and you have a bunch of players that haven't been at that level before, then they're just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Charlie, to your point, when you have that kind of record and you have that kind of record, and especially in those close games, you go, oh, no. And the story just continues to repeat itself. And that's why, like, guys, I on a broader note, and there are a lot of different directions we can go again. When I saw that Trey Young news come down last night, finally, the team I immediately thought of, not because I thought that they should have tried to acquire him, but the team I thought of, and it's in context of our conversations through the last few years, is New Orleans. Because I'm sitting there looking at Atlanta going, all right, they finally did what they should have done several years ago, but they sold so low. What did they get back in return that you really feel good about? I think we're just waiting for that next point with the Pelicans, because every time that we have talked over the last 3 years or so, it's like, you got to move on from Zion. You've got to just, you do it, because it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You need to get fresher guys in here, guys that you trust will be out there more on the floor consistently. And until you make that move and start to really revamp the roster that you have in place, good luck is what I would say to Joe Dumars and company.
On the line, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And Nick, you brought up, you know, the trade that just happened with Trey Young. We know the deadline is going to be February 5th, so that's rapidly approaching. And the silver lining, at least for this Pelicans team right now, is the rookies, Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, have been impressive at least. You have some hope with them going forward. But if you're the GM of this Pel squad right now, do you have any other untouchables on this roster right now?
Hell no.
That was quick.
Yeah, that is as strongly as I can put it, because I am with you on the two rookies. They look great. And guys, what I would tell you, I'm sitting here saying you can't live on hope. When you talk to people around the league about New Orleans, those are the guys they point to, like Trey Murphy. You look at it and go, ah, okay, like I see some potential in maybe that next tier, but absolutely not. There are no other untouchables. You want the young guys to grow. If you can get other pieces back in return for the players in place now, you do it. And that's why no matter what it was at this point, if you're Dumars and you are in that front office, you have to have the honest conversation at the table and say, look, we are going nowhere. This is not happening for us. It just has not worked. So where do you start? You start with Zion, and you make the move. You say, hey, everybody, look at what just happened in Atlanta. This is not the direction that we want to go. It just has not worked. And you go from there. But, you know, whether it's Murphy, whether it's Herb, whomever it ends up being on that roster that is not those two younger guys, get everybody out, start fresh, and see what can happen. The problem is, as we know, when you trade the pick that they traded for Queen, I mean, guys, everybody around the league in the moment was sitting there going, oh, no, what? No. Oh, why? This team ain't going to be that good next year. And it happened. And now you have to deal with those consequences. But if I'm the GM, I'm sitting there saying, we cannot keep going the way we are right now. And if we do that, we're going to be in much bigger trouble a couple more years from now than where we're at in the moment.
Nick, we're less than a month away from the trade deadline, February 5th. It just feels like if the Pelicans aren't active with moving pieces, it would be a misstep, I think, from Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver, and that Pelicans front office. But at the same time, you look at some of the Pelicans players that I think still have value around the league. You mentioned Trey Murphy as one. You know, we've talked with different reporters about what his value would be. I think there would be multiple teams that would call and inquire about him, and maybe you get back into the first round for 2026. Because right now, with trading that unprotected pick like you had mentioned, and also, by the way, trading the Indiana Pacers top four protected pick back to them to get 23 last year, you could have had a couple of potential lottery selections in 2026. Instead, you don't have any. So at the same time, I think you have some pieces that have some value around the league that you could get back into the first round of the 2026 draft, and maybe even some future picks as well to continue building, like you said, around those two rookie pieces that you already have in-house.
Charlie, I hope that Joe Dumars, Coach Weaver, everybody's listening to this conversation right now. I wish you could pipe it into the offices down there on Airline Drive, because that's exactly what should happen. You get back the picks, you start fresh, and you move forward. If you sit there and don't do anything now, going into the deadline a few weeks from now, what are you even selling to the fan base that is so apathetic they've got to be just sitting here watching these games, just shaking their head? I would tell you guys, anecdotally, and this is deeper than what deal should they make and what should happen in the next couple of weeks. I was down there for that Warriors game a couple months ago. It was on that Sunday night. And I can never remember seeing the Steph Curry show in an opposing building since I've been covering the league about 15, 16 years now, where there was less buzz or interest in what was happening. I was in disbelief, and that's because the fan base down there in New Orleans has been so just kind of knocked over the head so many times. That
shell shock for sure, right?
Yeah, I felt awful because I know what it can be. I mean, I covered that playoff run when they got to the second round and everybody was going nuts down there and having such a good time. To see that juxtaposed against where you have Steph, who's the biggest draw in the NBA still, and you've got a half-empty crowd, I was shocked. So I'd pull it full circle, and I'd say, if you're Gail Benson, and you're in that ownership group, and you're looking around, and you're saying, how do we re-energize a fan base that has largely seemed to check out day-to-day, you've got to start with changing the roster and getting back younger pieces and assets that are going to try and make this team better a couple years from now, because it's just not going to work. So this goes back to the same point. If it's anybody besides those younger guys that you've got who are seem to be developing well, get everybody else out of here. It's just not going to happen. And specific to Trey Murphy, I can tell you right now, one team that would love to have is the Golden State Warriors. I don't think they have the pieces to make that kind of thing work, but he has a lot of interest around the league, and he's a really talented player. I just don't think he fits into what I would have as the timeline if I were that front office right now.
Nick, you mentioned the crowd, and I wanted to ask you about this, so I'm going to go right there now. You know, fans, the diehard Pelicans fans, the true ones, they're kind of worried about, you know, hearing talks about expansion in the NBA to Las Vegas and Seattle, that maybe New Orleans would get, you know, moved on from here. Have you heard anything about timelines for the expansion teams or any rumblings about the franchise from New Orleans moving?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
But what I would say is, from the messaging that's come out from Adam Silver, it feels like we're going to get more of a timeline this summer. And if you are a diehard Pels fan, and I know they exist, I've seen plenty of them and talked to them during my time down there, I would be a little bit concerned, because if you have a team that has been run as poorly as they have been run for years and years, and the fan base is starting to check out, then I think anything could be on the table moving forward. Now, I've read the interviews that Gail Benson has done in the last few months, and it seems like she has no interest in selling, moving, et cetera. That's all well and good. But if you continue to not have fans showing up, and there's just a general lack of interest in your team compared to other markets that are dying to get the NBA in there, that's where I would start to be concerned. And so I don't think there's anything right now that's in the offing, but I think it could be there. And guys, I go back to, if you can't fill up the building for Steph Curry,
yeah,
there are real problems in a market. And to see that happen the other night, I know there's plenty of other examples throughout the year, but to see that happen that night with the Warriors in town, that was a stunner.
It's been a rough year, Nick. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And a lot of Pelicans fans have watched it happen basically all over again. But, I mean, there was the injury excuse last year where, I mean, they get off to such a terrible start because who was playing? It was Brandon Ingram and G Leaguers, effectively. But this year you have some pieces healthy, and then you go through the coaching overturn, Jane Borrego's in. And something that we've talked about, obviously, before the season even started, Willie Green's hot seat and how long that ended up lasting. But also, bringing in a culture-setting coach is so important for, I think, an organization and a team like the Pelicans. Once you get to the offseason, it's something that you have to get right. You cannot swing and miss on that. I can't emphasize it enough how important it is to be able to bring in a coach. There's some good ones on the market, and I know that we've talked about a few of them off air, but it just feels like, outside of trading some of the pieces on this roster ahead of the February 5th deadline, once the season's done and the coaching search begins, it can't just be, you know, like what they did with Dumars, where they effectively just brought him in without doing an extensive search to find their next president of basketball operations. You got to be able to find the right guy to lead this team into the future in the coaching position. But thankfully, there are some good candidates available.
Charlie, there are lots. And if the Pelicans screw this one up, then it goes back to what we were saying. Then you might have a real problem, and you might end up wanting to get your team out of there, because this is critical. You need somebody, and I think you nailed it. You need that culture setter. You need the person that's going to come in with a young team, with a team that doesn't have a lot to show for right now, and make them believe in the day-to-day again. And that, you know, I go back to there's one name, if I were Dumars and Weaver, that I would look to. And I know people roll their eyes and they'll go, oh, well, he's been in all these different stops. If I am the Pelicans, I am hiring Tom Thibodeau, period. That is a guy that can get you from A to B at a minimum. He knows how to build different programs, and he knows how to get the most out of players in several different stops now. So, you know, Michael Malone, I'm sure they'd be interested. He won a title. He helped develop Jokic and Murray. Great. If it's me, especially because I watched it so closely for so many years, the person who absolutely fits what New Orleans needs right now is Tibbs. And I think he would love to get back into the league and get a young team that's really off the radar back on the mark. But if you screw up the coaching hire on top of the personnel moves that have been made the last couple of years, then we're going to be having a different conversation a year or two from now.
Nick, always appreciate you dropping some knowledge on us. And when you were texting me and Charlie the other night, I hope you ended up having a double for us at the bar.
Steve, I would have had a triple if I could have. Good luck to everybody down there. I love talking to y'all, and I'll be here whenever you need me.
Thanks, appreciate Nick. You the man, Nick. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We're going to step away, come back with more sports talk, folks, right after this. Still waiting for that title game, that Fiesta Bowl to kick off here on ESPN. We'll keep you updated. Stay tuned on Sports Talk right after this on WWL.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Folks, are you listening to WWL on the Odyssey app? If not, you got to join the club. We've seen great growth in listeners who stream their favorite shows on their phones and who download our Daily Shows podcast. Stay connected to WWL for the latest on the Saints, LSU, plus opinions that you just can't get anywhere else. Download the Odyssey app today and make sure you go to My Audio, then Settings, and turn on notifications. That way, you'll never miss a big story or our red-hot interviews. WWL always live on the free Odyssey app right now. Stepping away again, we'll come back with more on the Fiesta Bowl, which has finally kicked off. We're seeing Ole Miss punting here. We're going to get all the action to you as it's going down and seeing who's advancing to the national championship. Coming back with more sports talk, folks, right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Time for the latest news on LSU football and the transfer portal, brought to you by the spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Well, sources are telling On3 Sports that quarterback Damon Williams Jr. and Washington have been in dialogue throughout today. Williams is leaning on a return to Washington, but nothing is official or done yet. That's according to Pete Nakos of On3 Sports. And man, oh man, Charlie, this quarterback drama just seems to be, you know, an ongoing thing with LSU right now that you're wondering, when are we going to get finally their signal caller, a done deal?
I told this to Ruffino in the 4 o'clock hour, Steve. I don't think that if you would have told me on Friday when the portal window opened that we would be Thursday night and there's still no QB and no real solution in sight for this LSU team. It's definitely fascinating to watch unfold. I know that Sam Levitt was in Baton Rouge for a couple nights. Yep. I think he recently went up over to Tennessee, go chat with the Volunteers, kind of weighing his options in the portal. But Damon Williams, by all accounts, it felt like the focus had shifted to him, and now it's potentially he's staying at Washington.
We playing money games here, you think?
Well, I think the whole thing with Damon Williams is Washington says, you signed a contract, we're not letting you get out of this contract, for the NIL deal that he signed with the Huskies just a couple days before he tried to enter the portal, and they weren't going to try, they were going to potentially sue him to not let him enter the portal as well, Steve. So it's just messy, man. I mean, it's what the NCAA kind of gets, though, because it's unregulated. There's nothing in place to stop it from being this way. So we're going to probably see more cases like this But at the same time, if it feels like Damon Williams is going to stay at Washington now, that's definitely a curveball. I wasn't necessarily expecting that because LSU, potentially Florida, Miami was going to be in the running for his services. You know, we'll have to see how it all unfolds.
That LSU football report brought to you by the spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Keep up with Lane Kiffin's latest moves and all the breaking news about LSU football on WWL. Checking in on that Fiesta Bowl. We're in the first 0-0 right now. Charlie, I haven't been able to get to see much. I know we're at commercial right now. Have you been able to notice anything going on here between the Canes and the Rebs?
Miami converted a major fourth down on their first drive around midfield. It was a 4th-and-2. They got it over with a running play. So now it's 1st-and-10 for them at Ole Miss's 40.
Taking a break for the top of the hour news, folks, and we'll come back with another hour of sports talk. Stay tuned on WWL.